and I instruct them what righteousness is. Because righteousness is as much a part of the gospel as anything else. Because it is what God, Christ came to do. That's why he wanted to give his life for our sins, was so that we could become like him. And that's not according to the law. Okay, and that's the point here, is that, hey, you know, and the thing is, a lot of times people say, well, the law, you know, they think that means, okay, righteousness is no longer important. Oh, it is, but it's not according to the law. It's according to Christ. Because they get confused between law and righteousness, because the law is right, and so on and so forth. But we have to believe in the righteousness, which is of faith. And they think that it's just, well, righteousness is of faith means I just believe, and that's all the righteousness I'll ever need. Wrong. Well, wait a second, Paul. It said Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Correct. But there were other things. Let me ask you a question. What did he believe? That's important. God said to Abraham, Abraham, you will have a son. So he believed the word of God. Not looking at the infirmity of his flesh, or of Sarah, who was barren. Not looking at, I'm old, I can't have a baby. How can I have a baby? He believed God, and God counted it for righteousness, even before he was made righteous. Well, even before the promise was fulfilled. And that's the thing in the gospel. See, our promise is righteousness. It's coming through Jesus Christ, and we're going to be justified. Justification is through faith. And remember, ultimately, I covered this extensively in Romans, so I'm not going to go to that part about justification. I just want to talk about righteousness, which is a faith. When I look at myself, I could say, I'm too ungodly. There's no way I could become righteous. Just like Abraham. I'm too old. There's no way I could have a son. But I believe God when he says that these things are going to happen to me, because they're all over the New Testament. All these calls to righteousness. All this, deny yourself. Walk this way. Crucify the flesh. Don't walk according to that. You know, sin shall not have dominion over you. You were once sinners. You're not anymore. Oh, there's all these scriptures that say, you know, this is what it was. It's not supposed to be that way anymore. You're supposed to walk this way. This is how you're supposed to walk. You're going to deny ungodliness and worldliness. You're going to put all that stuff aside. I believe that. But just like with Abraham, he believed that promise. And what happened? He had a son. The son was born. Now, what if I believe the promise of God? God says, Paul, you're going to be righteous. And I say, I believe you, Lord. And I never become righteous. Well, then God's a failure. Because I believed him. And he failed me. Well, let me tell you this. God is not a failure. What it is faith has died in you if you don't believe it. If you don't believe the promises of God, if you don't believe when he says that you're going to be righteous, if you don't believe you can be righteous, then you don't have faith. And you don't have the righteousness of faith like Abraham. You have to believe the promises. Remember those exceeding great and precious promises I was reading from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1? That we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world, which is in the world through lust. Faith is receiving those things and believing them. And I say that because I know Galatians is one of the most perverted books in the Bible. Because they try, by looking at Paul's thing with the Jews about the law, and it's all about circumcision and eating the right foods and all this. It's not about the righteousness, behaving the way that a Christian is supposed to behave, which means like Jesus without sin. Some people would look at this and say, Peter sinned. And it says, I remember we were reading that the Spirit of God, that he may preserve us blameless. And it says here, he was to be blamed. Well, Peter's got to be blameless. I'll ask you a question. What do you think? He kept this up on the rebuke of Paul. See, the fact that Peter wasn't condemned because of the long suffering of God, which leadeth to repentance. It's again, hearkening back to Romans. It says, don't despise the long-suffering and patience of God. Because remember, that leads you to repentance. It's the riches of God's goodness. God loved Peter. And he forbore and allowed Peter to do this. But believe me, Peter didn't, do you think he continued in this? I don't think so at all. That's ridiculous. He asked, Paul asked him the question, you know, but this is, Peter came to Antioch. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face, okay? Because he was to be blamed. He was wrong. Certain came from James. Before that, because that's the thing, because he dissimulated, which means to pretend to be something you're not. He was eating with Gentiles and going, you know, because, hey, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. You know, when with Paul, do as Paul does. When in Antioch, do as Antioch does. And he was eating with the Gentiles and enjoying the liberty that Christ had given, because Jews were not allowed to eat with Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were the circumcised. Because, you know, there were some people come up from Jerusalem, and he's like, oh, gee, I know what these guys are like. They're still kind of, they've accepted Christ. Well, they accepted that Jesus was the Messiah based on the resurrection, the miracles. They knew there was something with that Jesus, but now they haven't accepted everything that Jesus had done. Remember, a lot of the Bible wasn't even written at this time. I mean, they didn't know that Peter and the disciples walked with Jesus and picked grain and stuff on the Sabbath. And this wasn't always known. They just know that there was this Messiah named Jesus had died. If you look at the preaching of Jesus, I mean, the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost, I mean, he doesn't go into necessarily every detail of that happened in the time of, in the life of Christ. You know, he just preached. I like that as the preaching of the gospel, but he didn't go in to every detail. And the epistles are kind of the stories of those details coming out, and also in the gospels they're coming out. And all these things were written down the road, still within the lifetime of the apostles, though a lot of people like to deny that. It's ridiculous. These are the first-hand accounts. I always like to put them just after the apostles. I don't know why. As if, well, these guys were too stupid to write their own books. But those are always unbelievers who say those things. And they have a vested interest against Christianity. And Satan, their father, has commanded them to speak as they speak. Okay. But, so, yeah, Peter was to be blamed. But, in fact, and he led other Jews to doing the same thing. Even Barnabas. This, you know, dissimulation is hypocrisy. Pure and simple. In fact, the word is